Coming up on episode 38 of The Drive-By, returning your grocery cart says a lot about you, believe it or not. Arrive Can is a joke. And imagine you could attend your own funeral. One man did. That's all straight ahead.
This is The Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
Lots to talk about on this week's episode of The Drive-By, number 38. How's it going? It's Freeway Frank. We've had a heat wave here in Montreal, where I live, Montreal, Canada. And then the last couple of days have been stupid, like, cool. In other words, signs of fall and winter around the corner. We know that's not the case. We know warm weather, hot weather is returning again. But man, it could put you in a real shitty mood for a couple of days, right? Because you don't have much summer here in Canada, right? I mean, we do, but we don't. So you got to enjoy it while you can. And when you have a couple of real cool days in a row, you think to yourself, is this it? Is this it? Is it changing that quickly? All right, I'm okay. But it does affect your mood, let me tell you. It messes around with things over here, up here. So this is something that I've been thinking about. There are a lot of specific things that you could tell about people. You could figure out about a person that you've never met before. Says a lot about people when they do certain things and when they don't do certain things. One of those things we see all the time when we go to grocery stores. In the grocery store parking lots, we notice a couple of little things. I do, at least, okay? And I think returning your grocery cart, either putting it where the other grocery carts are in the parking lot, there's a designated spot, or bringing it back in if they don't have a spot, says a lot about you. It really does. My lifetime stats on returning grocery carts, it's got to be close to 98, 99%. I've only left the grocery cart on the side if it was pouring rain or I felt I couldn't make it back in time because it was the weather was cold or a whole bunch of other carts doesn't make it right. Then I'll abandon it if there's space on the side where I see the gentleman, you know, grocery cart guy coming towards me, and then I might make that decision. But for the most part, I'm bringing it back because I think it says a lot about you. I think when you see people nonchalantly throw the cart on the side, you know, just like, pah, I'll leave it right here. There's different kinds of people. There's the person that'll take the cart and kind of lift it and put it, you know, on the grass or dirt so it doesn't go away. That's some consideration. Then there's the complete asshole, hopefully this is not you, that'll take the cart and leave it in an empty spot. So not only does that take away a spot for somebody else trying to park, but you leave it in the parking lot, somebody has to come and get it, a worker, right? And some people might think job creation. More people are going to work because of my assholeness, if you will. But I think that's possible. Then I think that there are people who truly care and they'll bring it back to the designated spot, as I said. And I think those are real good people. And the people that will bring it all the way back in if there is no designated spot. Those are people who truly care. And I see people do it all the time. And I see most people just abandon. And I do think it says a lot about you. Sometimes when you see somebody that just abandons, you could tell. They have una faccia da cazzo, you know, like the dickhead, you know. And you could tell all the selfish qualities that come from that person in that moment that they've... You could tell you they're no good. They're no good, baby. You're no good. You could tell. But then you could see the person that is going back and bringing, you know, a cart back to the inside of the grocery store really does care because maybe they shop there often. Maybe, oh, they're considerate. Imagine that. I've taken it an extra step and I notice other people doing this more and more now since the last couple of years. More important, some people have become either more selfish or more considerate. I've noticed people doing this. Where I go, they don't have, they run out of carts inside very quickly. So if you don't bring one from the outside designated spot inside, then basically you're going to go to the front of the grocery store, see there are none there. If somebody's not coming out at the same time, you're not going to get one. So basically you're going to have to go all the way back out and into the parking lot, right? And it's hard to find workers nowadays. It doesn't seem like there's as many people working in grocery stores. At least to me, it doesn't. So what I do is I take two or three back with me when I go in, because I always see an elderly lady. I always see, you know, maybe it's a pregnant woman. Maybe it's an elderly gentleman. Or maybe it's even just some young guy who is going to have to walk himself. Why not bring a couple of extra ones? I've noticed people doing this. Or if people see you doing it, like just a regular person bringing three or four, why not? Push those three or four. I know it's not your job. Bring them in for people. Why not? So again, returning your grocery cart says a lot about you. I could probably pick one thing like that in life for every podcast, right? And then just replace returning your grocery cart. So blank says a lot about you. You could put anything there. You could figure out who people are to the fucking core with stuff like this. So our prime minister, hey, I went how many minutes without mentioning Justin Trudeau? He's in Costa Rica surfing, dude, and enjoying himself with his family. By the way, he arrived on, you know, a government-paid jet, the equivalent of our Can Force One, whatever you want to call it. No masks. They came out, him, Sophie, the entire family. You know, they could at least have put on a show. I was actually, oh, all right, he's not wearing a mask. So I thought, okay, he's moved on. But then, of course, when the rest of Canada has to download this silly ArriveCan app, has to get to the airport where there's literally thousands of people miserable, sweating, waiting to go through and have their ArriveCan app checked and customs ask them a million questions, randomly tested, whatever. I don't even know what's going on anymore to see if you're bringing it into the country. Like, oh, we're still doing this? It's just, it's crazy. Anyway, so my question is, when Justin Trudeau arrives to our country, will he download the ArriveCan app? I'm thinking no, because he's special, right? He could go enjoy his vacation. We're footing the bill, let's be honest, okay? I think it was to the tune of $196,000, something like that, for security and all that for his family to go. But then again, he is the prime minister. Any leader of any country, even on their personal time, have to be protected, right? Okay, so my point is, he goes to Costa Rica. He comes back to Canada. Will he download the app? I want to know. I want to find out he's going to download. First of all, that app, I would personally never downloaded it myself. I have no interest in downloading it. I've heard horror stories from people saying that they were detained for hours and hours for now downloading it. I heard a story about somebody getting cuffed. I heard a story of other people, customs officers, letting the people just go and not download it and say, all right, we're going to send you a fine in the mail. Some people receive the fine. Some people never receive the fine. I don't know what's going on anymore. But this thing has been so mishandled for so long. We need to move on with this circus, with this, like, these inconsistencies have been around for so long. And by the way, I'm not going to dwell on this topic. All I'm going to say is this has been going on for so long. The theater, okay, all this stuff, it needs to end, and it needs to end quickly, because customs officers, all right, are now coming out, people working basically in the field. Here's what the president of the CBSA Officers Union told Legacy Media Source, okay, recently. We're in a situation where we're kind of not doing our actual work as border service officers anymore. All of our time is being spent on the app. And then a spokesperson for the union also told CP last week, we're so short-staffed and spending so much time dealing with the app. Again, these are two big figureheads for the association, that we really don't have time to do our actual jobs anymore. So they're basically crying for help, saying, look, this thing doesn't work. We're focusing so much on this bullshit app that we're not able to actually, I don't know, protect Canada from people coming in whom we're missing things. We're so concerned about stopping the spread that we're not able to do our jobs. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that. I think the hypocrisy continues and will continue as long as the Liberals are in power and Justin Trudeau is Prime Minister of Canada. I mean, this has become a complete joke, and it keeps getting worse and worse every day. The FBI has now rated, this came out yesterday, so less than half a day ago, they just basically raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida. Unprecedented, never seen anything like this where, you know, look at all the shit that's happened with Hunter Biden, nothing. Hillary Clinton, nothing. Back in the day when Bill Clinton was impeached, Monica Lewinsky scandal, nothing. They better have something on former President Donald Trump. I'm just saying, because if they don't have anything, they don't find anything after that raid. Apparently they opened the safe. They're looking for some boxes he left with when he left the White House of classified information. If they don't find anything, they pretty much, in my opinion, just handed Donald Trump the presidency. Again, unless they find something huge, he ends up going to jail, which I don't think they're going to end up finding anything. I just don't. So Republicans, there's no doubt in my mind, are going to use this to their advantage. And you think to yourself, you know, the FBI search that was conducted, I was watching the scenes, right? The helicopter scenes, the camera angles, and was on a level of, I guess, what a mob boss would get, like back in the day. So again, it's going to backfire unless something huge is discovered, as Trump would say. Or then, to me, it's just it's evident. It's a partisan witch hunt, and that's it. It's just the Dems trying to make sure that Trump doesn't get back into power and doesn't launch his campaign. And they're trying to get him on something that I don't believe they're going to get him on. They've been trying to get him for, what, 6 years on something? And they can't. They haven't yet. They haven't gotten him on anything that legitimately could prevent him from continuing to pursue the office of the presidency again, or completely impeached him through the Senate, which didn't happen, by the way. They keep trying to do it with the January 6th hearings, with everything they're trying to do. But at some point, if he did something and he's guilty, and I know a judge would have to approve, right? Department of Justice would have to approve FBI agents going into. So somebody okayed this, of course, but somebody's going to get into major deep shit for doing this if they don't find anything. Point being is, after all this, they better find something. And after all this, after all these years, he's got to be jailed for something in order for all of this to make sense. If once again, they have nothing on him and he's exonerated, this only empowers his campaign to get back into the White House. I mean, it's as clear as day to me that they're giving it to him. They're like, especially considering how vulnerable and weak. Did you see President Biden come out of that Air Force One, whatever it's called, the helicopter, and he couldn't even put on his suit. He had his mask on. Yeah, he recently had COVID, but he's tested negative now for about, you know, 5-6 days. He's wearing a mask over his ears, his glasses are over his mask. Then I think it was the first lady who helps him put on the jacket. I mean, he was trying to put his arm into the pocket, front pocket of his jacket. That's how out of it this man is. This is the leader of the supposed free world, by the way. And I don't know what's going on anymore. And then he gets the jacket on, and then his glasses fall to the ground. It's just a complete shit show. I'm just saying. If you remember the press with Trump going down that wet ramp, the big deal that they made when he was taking careful steps because if he fell, could have hurt himself, or he could have been the laughingstock, they would have been ready to destroy him and his health and where he was with his health at the time. Remember when he held the glass and he brought it up to his mouth and he held it with two hands? They went on and on about that. But look at President Joe Biden. His mental capacity is failing before our eyes. And no one says anything except for social media. You know, people are calling him out, of course. But no one on the left side of the spectrum says a thing. Because in their mind, they would much rather have that frail, weak man than a guy like Donald Trump. But look at the disaster that the United States has been in the last 2 years and where they're headed. not to say we're any better. We're in a complete mess ourselves. But this is just unbelievable to me. Then here at home in Montreal, the Pride Parade, what was formerly called the Gay Pride Parade, the Pride Parade Fierté, was canceled, right? So the Pride Parade gets canceled in Montreal. It's a last-minute thing. This is something that hasn't happened the last couple of years. Now it's back, and for some reasons, they couldn't secure the path, the parade path, whatever the case is. Apparently, now the mayor of Montreal, Valérie Plante, has launched an investigation. She's launched an investigation to find out, you know, what happened and why the Pride Parade had to be canceled. Why this made me laugh? Okay, no, like, I want to know why the Pride Parade was canceled too, because you would think this is something that they've done so many times and so many parades happen in the city of Montreal and protests, and there are more protests here than I've seen anywhere else. There's always police protection. There's always police guiding the protesters or paraders on the route. So I don't understand. So I'm curious. But the thing that made me laugh is how the mayor of Montreal, Valérie Plante, launches an immediate investigation. Then the leader of the coalition, co-leader of the coalition, Jagmeet Singh, makes his way to Montreal, of course, you know, and he uses it. I mean, these people are so quick to use it for their benefit, right? And so woke that instead of figuring out what happened, no, they've got to make it. They've got to make it a partisan, of course, they make it into a bigger issue than it is, to make themselves look better. In this case, the mayor of Montreal is doing something about it. Singh, you know, was there, and I'm so sorry, but I'm here with you, and he's taking the selfies and the pictures with everybody who didn't make it down their parade route. Now, you know, I'm pro-LGBTQ+. I have friends, so I'm not going to start. My only question is this. Where was Valérie Plante, the mayor of Montreal? Why hasn't an investigation been launched here in Montreal for things like traffic, why things don't seem to work, why the roads are so shitty? How about an investigation into all those bike paths she created to make sure that they didn't take away from traffic flow? Or, you know, like, how about an investigation as to why it's taking so long for the tunnel, the Montreal Lafontaine tunnel in Montreal, to be fixed? It's going to take 4 years now. Why is it that it's an immediate investigation for something woke? And when it's something that every citizen, gay, straight, trans, it doesn't matter, has to deal with, there's nothing. It's crickets, it's nothing. But when it's a woke issue, that's the first one that they're going to jump on. That bandwagon is right on schedule, like the 5 o'clock bus coming down the street. It's unbelievable. It's seriously, I see this. And again, it's not to bring this up, you know, just so I could go against the grain and trash the Pride Parade. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying, why is it? You know, it's like CTV News came out with a story this week. I shared it on my Instagram. And the story was LGBTQ+ people had a lot of mental health issues during the last 2.5 years, have suffered the most during the last two and a, whatever it was. But that's why I changed it. I put an X across the LGBTQ+ whatever, and I put all Canadians, because it said LGBTQ+ Canadians suffered with their mental health during the last couple of years. So I canceled that and just put all Canadians, because think about that for a second. If we replace the LGBTQ+ community and put Italians, Greeks suffered, men suffered, women suffered, Muslims, think about the uproar for excluding everybody else. But because we're so inclusive and woke, because we put that, it's okay, and that flies, and that's the first story and caption CTV will go with, when in fact it's so easy. And anybody who studied journalism, you don't even have to study journalism to know, all Canadians. Because there's more of a story there when you put LGBTQ+ suffered, you know, no kidding, they suffered. They were suffering before, they're going to suffer after. And guess what? All Canadians have a story. All Canadians. This has been a bad time for all of us. And that's not taking away from the gay community at all. That's just saying that, hey, We all suffered. And this is my point. My point with what I mentioned with Valerie Plante, my point with what I mentioned with Jagmeet Singh, going to the, they all do it for political gain. That's the only reason why they do it. And people, you know, where they go about their lives, we go about our lives, you know, living our life and enjoying summer and all that. But for some people, they can't let, well, we can't let it go. We see this stuff and it's like, it's the hypocrisy is out of control. And if we don't call it out, then all these woke people are going to get away with it. They're going to get away with changing all this stuff for nothing, for nothing, for no other reason but their own gain and to show that they care. When in fact, we do care. We all care as a society, but we all need to help each other. We all need, our mental health needs to improve, whatever the case. We can't forget about a whole segment of the population or start treating people horribly because they're not part of this inclusive group that has been treated horribly forever. So this is the point I'm making. It's like the people that want to cancel, you know, they want us to give up all our history, all our whatever. They want to rewrite history, rewrite the books and everything like that because of things that have happened, brutal things, barbaric things that happened centuries ago. Do I admit they were bad? Of course. But it's like they just now want to say, no, you know what? We need to go back and change the history. Instead of working on making sure this never happens again and moving on, you know, they want people whose ancestors may have been part of the making these people suffer, that now you're going to pay for it. You're all going to pay for it. For all the years that, you know, these people were mistreated, you're going to pay. And then you have leaders like Justin Trudeau, who use it for their own political gain to be there at the front wearing whatever, you know, traditional costume that he has to wear to show that he's inclusive with everybody and all that. And he's there to apologize on behalf of Canada and the Canadian people. I mean, that this is my point. And they're so quick on it, they don't miss a beat. And it's sickening. It really is. It's disgusting. And it's completely sickening. And it needs to end. I'm going to end with a great story on a good note. It's a sad story because this gentleman was told he didn't have long to live. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Ron Rader, he basically turned to his kids and said, listen, I don't want a funeral. I want a party. 67 years old, he was diagnosed with cancer, told he didn't have long to live. So the doctor had told him that the cancer spread, inoperable. He needed to go straight to palliative care. He made a decision and he pretty much said, listen, I want to attend my own funeral, but I want it to be a celebration of life. I want to be at my funeral and I want to say goodbye. Brilliant, right? I mean, you've heard of life celebrations, celebrations of life, but I've never heard of this. So 350 people showed up to his funeral, basically. Friends, extended family, customers of his, acquaintances. He was a car salesman for many years. He said the whole day was amazing. It was incredible. And then 9 days after his funeral that he attended, he died peacefully with his family and friends at his side. So 9 days after his celebration of life. What a fantastic story, I thought to myself. Think about it. As much as you would want to do something like that, I mean, that's why I'm telling this story, because it's sad, but it's not sad. He got his wish, which was to attend his funeral, say goodbye to everybody. He wanted to be there. And as sad as that is, and that's why I'm mentioning, as I said, this story, is that I think it's great. And I think more people need to do this type of thing. It's a hard thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of people don't do it because it's difficult. It's difficult knowing that you're saying goodbye one last time. But it's beautiful in a way. You know you're dying. You know it's coming to an end. But you get one last chance to see all those people you would have otherwise not seen who would be there paying their condolences, but instead giving their condolences to you, the person that is about to die. Wild. Completely wild. That's a wild story. I loved it so much, I thought I had to share it, because I think if it gets into the minds of more people, maybe people will want that kind of send-off. Better than the morbid send-offs we have nowadays. I'm not saying they're all morbid, but you know, in my religion, you're lying in a casket. It's sad. There's nothing nice about it. It's death. It's final. But this man, but he got to say goodbye to everybody one last time at his own funeral. What an incredible story. I thought I'd end with that because I think it's positive. I think it's beautiful. I think it's positive. I think it takes a lot of character and a lot of guts to do something like that. That's not an easy thing to do. It's a wild story. When I first read it, I thought, wait a minute. He attended his own funeral. So, you know, you hear these crazy stories from the past where somebody was in a casket and somehow they wake up, or they weren't dead, or I don't know, these nutty stories. Not at all. This is not at all what happened. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Drive-By, number 38, the Tuesday edition, always two per week. And of course, you could check out any back catalog episodes on YouTube under The Drive-By. I caught a brand new Netflix special that just came out, 3-episode documentary called Trainwreck Woodstock 99, that my very first guest on The Drive-By, former VJ, TV personality Rick Campanelli, was on my podcast, and he was on it, and there was a segment where he talks about it. You could check out that entire interview on YouTube. You could rate the podcast on Spotify out of 5 stars. You know what to do there. Or Apple, and leave a review anytime. Appreciate it. One more podcast later on this week. Ciao for now.
The Drive-By with Freeway Frank.